time you stop by again?
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as you know, we are also on the internet simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. That's on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. And you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. You'll also find many rebroadcasts of past shows in that lineup. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, and I mean crazy. But I want to say a special thank you to all of you for tuning in and also for letting me know your thoughts on what we should be doing to help America and American made come back to this country in a bigger and better way. We're going through a little bit of hell with so many people receiving that extra money, staying home. Some government offices are still all closed down. You have to do everything virtually or over and over call. It's just impossible to believe what is going on. But we're trying to keep everybody sane, calm, and happy. I hope that all of you had a very, very wonderful Father's Day. Certainly all of us in the Blihash family had a great holiday. And I have to tell you that all my kids and everybody looked at the back of the card, certainly before they bought anything. And that was good for me to see. We went out. We had a wonderful dinner. We had a good, good time. And that means everything. And as we're talking about American made, everybody is, of course, saying, wow, it's impossible to believe how much of our country has been shipped around the world and how little of our country is here being made right here in this country. But I'd like to take this opportunity to say a special thank you to our panel members, who include Larkin Conley, who is our business advocate, and of course, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and our theme since 1999 is Buy American-Made Products, Support American-Made Workers. And as all of you can see in our travels, we're all beginning to see more and more things proudly being promoted as American-made. I'm very pleased with some of the people that are making summertime, you know, equipment and summertime, you know, beautiful things for the yard, putting on Made in America on their labels. That's really important. You know, back in 1999, when I first began promoting the Buy American Made campaign, I said more jobs will reduce crime and people will be happier being unemployed. Look at the history of the last 2 years, and we all see that crime and poverty continues to grow in the United States because we let too many of our jobs leave this country, and many people don't want to accept the fact that they did, and we're going to speak about that today. And they don't like, you know, giving in to the fact that they allowed a lot of this to happen on a national level, not only with politicians, but with business leaders, local leaders, the Chamber of Commerce. They're all to blame for not speaking up as they should. Add to the fact that so many people have job skills and now can't use them. We need more people that are with skilled. We need more people in the trades because people retire. There's no one to replace them. So they say, oh, there's no people to replace them. So here we are in a situation where we have to ship the jobs overseas in order to continue to bring you those products. Well, I think it's time for the schools to change. Mark and all of us talked about the schools. It's time for the people to start contacting their national leaders and have a few words with them, because what we're seeing now in 2021 is not what we expected to see back in the year 2000. We thought that things would be changing. It seems that in the last 20 years, radio interviews and it talked about the job crisis getting worse. Most technology jobs had moved overseas to foreign countries, and the need is now to change this entire record. This entire thing has to be changed. And as Larkin said last week, if you can do without something, do without it, because they are raising prices. You know, there are certain things in the system that have been in the system for a year, and they're charging you 30 and 40% more for a product that's been sitting in the warehouse saying it's costing more to manufacture. So my thing is, support your local businesses as much as you can. And remember, when they say that they're allowing more and more businesses to go to 30%, 40%, 50%, leadership is saying, wow, isn't that wonderful? They have to take into consideration that during the last 15 months, when they had very little availability, those expenses were 100%. Their rent, insurance, electric, and everything else remained the same. And talking about prices going up and expenses continuing to rise, I'm going to call on the first person, a person who sees it firsthand, and that is Mark Andel. Mark, how you doing, guy?
Good. How you doing, Mike? And I hope Larkin and Rich are on. Henry, thanks for always making us sound good. Mike, doing good. Fighting the fight, as I would say. You know, changing times. Every day we pivot and adjust. You know, I'd like to say the Made in America movement is very strong, and I was just talking to our managers at our Made in America stores and trying to get feedback and feedback and feedback, because we want to know what's working for advertising our social media platforms. But even my daughter Jess, working the counter, said, Dad, I've never heard so many people come in and say, hey, I'm going to buy Made in America products. That's it. I'm buying American, period. And they're committing to it, and it's great to hear the feedback that they understand the dependency on China didn't work out well. We have to do this as we the people. We have to make the difference. So it's nice, Mike, to hear people demanding and developing a discipline to buy Made in America, and it's on and strong. I think the pandemic had woke that up. But as you know, there's a lot of facts. The rapid inflation, which is skyrocketing, steel is, you know, still going up, and you know, the woods, polypropylene, all these missing components, the semiconductor for the computer chips. Some great articles I'll send around, Mike. But that product shortage, the rapid inflation, and the worker shortage, the brutal fact is, companies are losing sales, and what that does is, unfortunately, you lose your sales because you're waiting for a product, you don't have it. Rapid inflation, people don't want to buy it because it's higher than they think it should be, and they haven't been educated on why. And it's just a fact. Unfortunately, we're seeing companies close because of it, because you've lost 12 months, 16 months of sales, and a lot of people don't understand a business can't withstand that alone. But then you add, you're trying to make up these sales, things are wide open now, but you lack workers, you lack components to build your product, the prices have skyrocketed three times as much, so the sales are down. If you lose sales, as Larkin knows, you lost that revenue income. Now, you can pivot, you adjust, you try to recreate sales, and that's what we do so good as Americans with that can-do spirit, but very tough times when so many things, first you had a bad run for 12 months plus, and then so many things are against you. But, you know, we, on a positive note, we made a major decision, Mike, yesterday to enter our Erie County Fair, second largest county fair in the country. They went 100%, but there's still a lot of regulations. You've got to order your tickets online, anybody going to this fair. The prices are a lot higher, $13.50 a ticket compared to $9.50 last year. But less vendors. We called our vendors that supply products. Our number one problem with making the decision was finding enough workers, because we keep everything open when we do it, but also finding enough products to sell, again, to make them sales. If you don't have the products, you can't make the sales. We lost things like flags in our vessel and sandals we can't get, but we went on to new things, the new items, and talked to new companies, even a candle company yesterday. The owner said, we'll back you, we'll get them there, we got 6 weeks to do this. So we think we can get enough products to have a successful fair, and I don't go in there to break even, I don't go in there to lose, I go in there to set a record. So that's what we decided, Mike. So we've got the attitude, you still got to face the brutal facts, and we're pivoting every day, every hour, adjusting to these changing times, but it's a lot of a load, and I feel for all the local businesses and small businesses out there, because there's no time more than ever now that they need our support.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, Larkin mentioned that people are going to pull back from their spending. I see it happening here and there. And everywhere I go, from gas, it's $1 more than it was a year ago today. In Philadelphia, I don't know how it is in Buffalo. What's the price of gas in Buffalo?
Yeah, we're over, you know, the $3. Diesel's up across the board about 33%. You know, we're getting fuel surcharge notices from just about everybody. So that adds to your cost. And again, it's hard to make that sale, Mike, and I'm positive. You know, we built trailers, and the trailer price is double. We still got them on the front lawns, and we're going for it because we have to build something, we have to sell something. But the perceived value, it takes a long time for the consumer to catch up to the reality of what's going on,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
But, you know, Mark, you're absolutely right. And as I look at some of these national news media people, none of them are educating the people as
and
we
that's
are.
That's the problem, Mike.
There's nobody talking about it. Nobody.
Yeah, you don't want to be doom and gloom. I mean, that's not what we're saying. But you got to face the brutal facts, and they've got to know why. Why is material up? Why is there a shortage on semiconductors, a computer chip? And if you read, and I'm educating myself, and there's many issues with the computer chip, and that didn't allow them to, to finish vehicles. And they say new vehicles are up if you can get a truck or a car; they're up 5%. But used vehicles are up 25%.
Yep.
So again, I'm in the upfitting industry with General Welding. I put dump bodies on, or I put a plow on your truck, or a hitch. That affects us because number one, people can't get new trucks. Number two, the used market's wiped out. You go to dealers around and look, everything's pulled forward. The lots are empty, at least around here, Mike. You can see it. You can do your own homework.
You know, Mark, this is insane. Just 2 years ago, we didn't have enough jobs for workers.
Right.
Today, we see help signs everywhere we go.
Yeah,
now, we don't have enough people to fill the jobs available. How's that even possible?
If I'm talking to Ann and Flag or Valley Forge Flag or our vessel company, Habersham, they can't find workers, and they're closing doors and because of worker shortage. We're talking about all this other rapid inflation and component shortage, but worker shortage in the United States when we've got workers available, that just the culture has changed and they gave away free and they're on paid vacations, a lot of them. I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
You're exactly right. You know, Mark, none of us would have been able to predict the pandemic 2 years ago. Absolutely. No one would have ever imagined. We were on a roll. We were moving high. Jobs were getting to come back more and more. People were expanding their product lines. But we can certainly predict one thing, our future. And if we don't stop the loss of the jobs that have left and are continuing to leave the United States, those people that are now 4, 8, and 10 years old are really going to pay the price for our ability not to be able, for we have no ability to be able to keep these jobs, keep our focus on our future and their future. The little people today, they don't understand. In fact, the people that are now 18 and 20 graduating from school, they don't really understand what it's all about. I got, there was a nice, beautiful card. It said, most children don't understand how hard their moms and dads work to put clothes on their backs and make sure that their life goes nice. It was something like that in the card store. And I thought, wow, that's a very nice statement. And if we, as Americans, don't start looking out for one another, our kids are not going to have the goodness that they've experienced 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Right. You know, and Mike, we try to be consistent. We try to educate. We raise awareness on your show. You know, this first 12 minutes, that's what we did. But then, you know, we'll say, okay, we don't want to just continually, you know, tell about the problems. What are the solutions? Well, the solution is you get up, you say, hey, I'm going to buy Made in America products today. I'm going to go out and look and dedicate this time and only spend my money on Made in America products until this country gets strong again. Again, we believe in 50-50 fair trade. But there's things you can do if you're off and you got a job and a company calling you back to work, you go. That's what you have to do.
Well, you know, Mark, I worked in social services for some time, and I'll have to tell you that I've never seen anything like this where the employer is not able, with all the technology they have available, to let the unemployment board and the Social Security and all know that you're needed back at your job. This is totally craziness to me. You know, if you have a real bad problem and you can't show up, that's one thing. But if you're asked to come, a lot of these people are available and should be working, and they're just not doing it. We have to protect America, the future of American workers, and keep those businesses here in the United States. That's our whole message. We can't, like you said on one of your shirts, China is a long way to work. And that's for sure. That is absolutely for sure. And if we don't do it now, we're going to lose everything that we had going for several years, getting the people back, giving them, you know, various discounts and taxes and all. We just can't think. All the people in Washington are telling us is how they need more money, how they're looking to get more money, how they want to give away more money. It doesn't make sense. Did anyone say, how are we going to get more jobs so that our people have stability? I don't hear it on our local radio or television stations. I don't hear it coming out of Washington, D.C. I don't hear it coming out of business associations. The Chamber of Commerce is only talking about, you know, shop local and go and visit your local sites. But what are they saying? You know, how about jobs? Keep those jobs in our country.
You know, one neat thing, Mike, I just ran back from a bus, and the bus came from the Pittsburgh area, your great state, and it was nice to see a bus again. It was a casino bus. You know, they spent some money, they had some fun. It was nice to see it. It was refreshing. Now, Dorothy's back up to 42 buses booked for, you know, mainly fall. Usually we do 100 to 200 a year, so it's nice to see it coming back. And the problem for the people, it's not like we're not going to make it through this. We do. We make it through things, but it's the damage that's done during and as we go through. They can make some decisions in Washington, our government, to help get people back to work. There's help that can be out there if they recognize the problem, the disconnect. They can adjust to it. Now, everyone makes mistakes. It's adjusting to the mistakes you made right now to get this country back on track quicker so we don't have to suffer so long, because it takes 3 to 5 years at this rate. We got some damage done that it's going to take a lot of time. There's going to be fewer companies, stronger, yes, but a long time to rebuild, Mike.
You better believe it. You know, as I go around, and even on the Father's Day weekend, people tell me, Michael, all the political talk in the world will not change the reality that was politicians and businesses simply didn't do their jobs, didn't speak up for many, many years, allowed the businesses to move out of the United States of America, and all that started 40 years ago. Some of the people tell me that they were employed in different industries and their industry moved overseas, so they went to the next industry and they got involved in that. But that's not the way it should be. You know, Mark, there's a dozen and one committees that are being focused on the news media, the Committee on Elections, the Committee on this. Is there a committee on keeping jobs in the United States of America? I'm going to ask that question to Larkin Conley. Larkin, is there a committee in Washington, D.C. to keep jobs in America?
Certainly. Good morning, Michael, and Henry and Mark. I haven't heard of any committee. I really haven't. I'm not aware of anybody that's got that concern right now. I wanted to bring something up, and I also want to tell you that I'm in a convenience store in Titusville, Florida. about 2.5 hours from home, so I left very early this morning to get down here to do some of my business. But at any rate, there's, you know, accounting used to be, and I think Mark was probably aware of this, way back in the day, it was either first in or and last out, or last in and first out. And that's what you did. That's how you treated your inventory.
Yes.
So if prices were dropping, you took advantage of that because the price had to go up based on the new price. But all the old stuff you have in your inventory, you paid the old price for. So it's kind of tricky. Well, what happened was, and that in the oil business was huge because gasoline is such a ridiculous problem, a product. And when they raise the price, it's, I never could explain it, and I'm not going to try to explain it now. And I worked for oil companies for 24 years. But there's a new thing called just-in-time. Mm-hmm. And that's where American manufacturers got caught with their pants down. Just-in-time meant they wanted that inventory that they had to pay for to arrive in their factory just as they were running the line and needed that part. It's called just-in-time delivery. And everybody in the manufacturing business got caught with their trousers down.
Absolutely, Larkin.
Tell us, what is just-in-time? I'm not sure what that is.
Just-in-time and just-in-case, but go ahead, Larkin.
Yeah, just-in-time. I wasn't going to get into the just-in-case. But the just-in-time, it means that your supply chain that starts in China and works its way all the way to your factory in Buffalo. And what you want to do is time it so that you don't have to pay for a lot of inventory that you have sitting in your plant. You want it to arrive just in time. You want it to be on your dock and being used to manufacture products just in time. So those widgets, you know, if they wouldn't have been practicing such incredible inventory control practices at Ford with this just-in-time, they probably would have had a half a factory full of those boards at the time that you couldn't get your hands on them. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, it's just-in-time. It's just getting it there exactly when you needed it, and everybody's happier for the best.
Yeah.
But when that supply chain gets stopped, just in time doesn't allow for anything in your plant to use to make something because the supply chain stops. And that's called just in time. And I'll let Mark tell you about just in case.
But Larkin, you're absolutely right. This just-in-time, why you do that is your inventory is considered profit, and you get stuck with all your inventory. It's not liquid. You don't have cash flow to continue to do new things, build things. So that's great until the train stops. You know, and we just got our ass kicked is what happened.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. We got. It's not bad business to do what we were doing. Unquestionably not bad business. But at the same time, nobody predicted that this would happen to the system and that the supply chain would stop and would look backwards and to our factory and say, oh, good Lord, we don't have any widgets.
Okay, I have to tell you, then that gives us more reason to want a 50-50 supply chain in the United States, because majority of the products that we're discussing are all foreign made and they came on a delay. That's the big problem. We really got caught with our pants down because we have no companies in the United States of America to make many of those boards and all. You know, I remember when my cell phone, I mentioned that before, was made in Texas. Today, last week it was announced, but today I will tell you that not one cell phone is made in the United States of America, whether it's an Apple phone or any of them, they're just not made in the United States of America. There alone is an enormous amount of jobs, skilled jobs, and you know, inventing new ways to do it. Why are they inventing new ways for us to communicate in a foreign country instead of here in the United States of America? I don't understand it.
Well,
but
Mike, I'd like to say, too, that semiconductor or computer chip board that everybody's looking for the trucks, you know, the automotive industry and other industries, what a lot of the research I just did, there was a Tokyo fire that we didn't really hear about of a warehouse with these semiconductor chips in. And then a lot of the automotive buyers, the purchase procurement agents at these large automotive companies, once the pandemic hit in March, they started canceling orders, thinking, hey, they're going to be closed down for indefinitely. They didn't know, so they canceled orders. Well, then things still kept selling. Things were, you know, there was essential business. So then they tried to replace their orders, but during that time period, they actually used a lot of them semiconductors, computer chips, in other industries like phones and televisions or whatever industry took that chip. So these manufacturers sold to other places. They lost their place in line. The just-in-time inventory Larkin's talking about actually caught up with them. They couldn't get the chip. So now you got this shortage. Now all the F-150s or trucks that are finished without the computer board have to be pulled back into the manufacturing area at some point when they receive them. So you got these bubbles floating around, and what caused it's kind of interesting from the past, and hopefully we learn going forward.
Well, you know, this is another time to just take a brief look at America's leadership, all leadership. Not just political leadership, but leadership in the business industries, the chambers of commerce, the business associations. How could this happen in the United States of America? You know, in 1999, I mentioned this once before, I went to that seminar here at 4th and Arch Street in the hotel, and there were some foreign manufacturers telling the people, we will be able to save you a tremendous amount of money. You will have your orders delivered right to your shipping dock, and you will not have to pay the people. You won't have to worry about medical insurance and FICA and all that stuff that you have to pay to the government. And, you know, it did come to that. That was in 1999. When I went to that, I was horrified because these people were so well-spoken about the accomplishments that could come from their country, and these people sitting in the audience absorbed it and they went for it, hook, line, and sinker. And I said to myself, boy, this is going to turn into a nightmare. And it has. And just in time, they were telling you, not using those words, but they were telling the people, don't worry about, you'll bring your rental costs down. The manufacturing area could be shut down. We'll bring it to you beautifully wrapped, ready for you to ship out to your customers. Same box, same everything, same packaging that the people are used to. Nobody will know the difference. You'll just be able to find it very small, in small print written on the back, made in wherever. That's what's happening.
So let me go one more step, Michael. At the time those decisions were made, American workers, for a variety of reasons, the value of our own economy, unions, everybody played a part in the fact that those manufacturing individuals were making buku bucks. They were making a lot of money. Yet and payroll, I think Mark will stand for this, payroll, if it's not the biggest one, it's second to cost of goods, but payroll is really important. And if China's paying their people $9 a day and we're paying $29 an hour, it's not real hard to separate the difference.
You're absolutely right, Larkin. The only problem is with this thinking and this idea is when you go into any store, you're paying the same price as if it was made in America, mainly on the better goods, not in maybe the little stores, you know,
That's not China's fault. That's Walmart's fault.
That is Walmart's fault, and it's America's fault that they didn't urge the companies to stay in the country, give them a break to stay here. You know, if you're any one of us, if you got, you're living in an apartment building and the landlord says, I'm going to raise it by 30%, you start looking around. But if the government said, no, we're not going to raise the taxes, we're going to keep the bottom line, we want to keep our people off poverty, off unemployment, they didn't do it. They didn't do it.
They can't. How are they going to do that? I mean, you use verbs like urge. The government can't talk to mid-market manufacturers like Mark and say, hey, keep your wages down, you know, $9 a day.
You're right.
You can't. All you can do is politically approach China and say, listen, these are all human rights failures on your part, $9 a day. They're living in poverty. If you drop that on the floor, they step over you until the janitor can come and pick up your body. And that's just the way it operates.
I know, but Larkin, my point is this. You're right. It's not government's place. But government is hit with the bill. You and I and everybody else is hit with the bill. Because if they're not employed in America, they're on unemployment. If they're not on unemployment, they're collecting poverty. So government is still paying the bill. So wouldn't it be better to say, corporations, I'm not going to charge you this enormous tax if you keep people on the job. So the government's paying the money no matter how. So let's not give it to them.
If you're sitting at Mark's desk, it becomes very difficult for him to look at a trailer and say, I've got $2,800 in this trailer, but in order to keep my guys busy, I'm going to sell it for $2,900. I'm going to make $100. I don't think so.
No.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, Larkin, it's funny you say that because I'm right in that position. So you try to find, you know, there's a perceived value on trailers. Trailers never held a great market, and there's difference. There's residential trailers, and there's commercial and industrial.
Right.
But it's funny, I just built a line of trailers. I call it the Henry Ford Theory. Okay, we did 20 of them, got all our expenses down, designed it the best we can, made it a la carte. You got to order everything after if you want ramps, fancy tires, a spare tire. But still, the bill of material came out to $3,400. I should be able to sell that trailer in regular times at $29.99, but my cost of the goods was $3,400 alone without labor on it. So then you try to build a price that you could possibly sell it, still keep the guys working, still make a dollar. That's the toughness of these times. But you just hit, it's a perfect example of the trailer. But in these times, with material, you know, steel alone up the $1.20 to $1.30 a pound from 47 cents, paints up, woods up. That's the craziness of these times, which drives, you know, you've got to want to keep your workers, number one, because they're trained and it's hard. You've got a lot of time invested in workers. A lot of businesses and a lot of people don't realize that, even political officials. You train these guys, but they're valuable, and they want a job they can count on, but you've invested in them, so you want to try to keep them. And I call them job savers. We'll make products like lawn rollers or fire rings or anything we can sell at the Made in America stores that keep our guys employed until the next big job comes along, which has a little more meat on it, if that makes sense.
Well, you're up. I agree.
And what I'm suggesting, based on what Marcus just said, is that we're going to have to find another way to treat our employees so that they want to work, and this is the big word, I want you to mark this word down, there's incentive for them to get up and come to work.
You're absolutely right.
Whether it's giving them an opportunity to at the end of the year to own part of the company and have shares, something has to happen, because I'm going to tell you, Marco also, I know Marco's seeing a lot of this. There's a lot of competition out there now. But you get $7.75 an hour, $8, $9 an hour. Sorry.
And Larkin, you're hitting on it, because even a good construction friend I have has a construction business. Now the workers get smart and go, hey, there's not many people working. Skilled trade workers are valuable. I want more. Right. I've always believed in the incentive systems. You know, trying to create an incentive system. If this guy wants to work harder than the next, they can make something, profit sharing. But also, on the other side, we get hit. I just got a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield that the rates are going to go up 22%. And, you know, and I bring that up because I want to be able to give my people 100% health benefits. I don't want them to worry about that. I want to take care of them. I want to have them a job, livelihoods, so they can raise their family, and we get lifelong employees. But when you get this 22% shock me the other day, it was about a week ago, they were entertaining it at the state level. New York State has to pass it, but 22% on health, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe I'll give 100, you know, I'll give health insurance to everybody again, 100%. I go, boy, that ain't going to work together. So these are all the things we've got out there.
No, Mark, you're absolutely right. This is turning it. But here's the question. They're sending you the notice. Isn't there any person sort of like us, any chamber of commerce who can go out there and make deals, you know, gather a lot of manufacturers, a lot of businesses together so that they're grouped and get lower rates? Something's not right. People are not looking out for each other. What all these big companies in America are doing is they're really going with the flow. It's time for everything to go up, just like the gas. I'd like to see, let's talk about common issues that are killing American workers, killing America. Number one, if the United States Chamber of Commerce came out and said, well, look, in Pennsylvania, it costs this much to employ a person, and they need the cost of living cost to be that because this is what the cost of living is. Florida, it's different than in New York. We don't see those statistics. We don't know what the price of gas is in Florida. All we know is what we hear secondhand. I'd like to see. I always urge people to do that, and they say, oh, that's more work than you can imagine. I said, yes, but if we want to save America, we want to save our jobs, we want to save our businesses, somebody has to speak up. Remember I told you so many times, C-SPAN would give time for something like this because it benefits the people at large. But nobody wants to take the opportunity or the responsibility. There's a lot of good people in the system. No one wants to accept responsibility. Yes, Larkin.
Well, it depends on what industry you're in also. My daughter and her husband are building an addition to their house. What a wonderful time to start a project like this. But the contractor kind of drug his feet. I mean, and get started. I mean, I'm not paying $9.95 for a 2x4. You know, but there's absolutely no issue about whether his workers are going to show up. And when they do come to the site, those workers are there. And they're good, competent workers. And in order to get that guy that can lay a cinder block, or in order to get that guy that can trim out a wall or hang plasterboard, you know, whoever it is, you've got to be willing to pay the price for the person that is trained. And we're going to have to get Mark is going to have to get very clever if he's going to continue to sustain himself in competing with offshore issues. As long as it's onshore, probably no big deal. But, you know, if steel is five times its standard cost, you know, what do you do to build a trailer? I mean, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, you know, Larkin, you're right, and I want to say this to you about that trailer and everything else. This is something that I've tried to get a few people to do, but nobody wants to tackle the issue. Number one is, if Mark is making that trailer in Buffalo, New York, what's his cost? Just, you know, a general cost without talking about the profit or whatever needed to keep the business afloat. But when they say they're bringing all these trailers and all from foreign countries, my question is, what was the cost to actually make that trailer in China, Vietnam, or wherever? Did it cost 20% less, 50% less, 60% less? Nobody wants to talk about that issue. When I say it, they say, "Woo, Michael, that's controversial." What's controversial about it? If I can help somebody like Mark to keep his business going, that's fine. Let them sell those trailers in other countries. Let's look at America, our economy. The people governing America have to be reminded that they're using our tax dollars to make these appropriations for all these things that they're doing, the expanded unemployment, the infrastructure. And by the way, all these projects sound wonderful. However, our children, grandchildren, their children, and their grandchildren are going to wind up with this bill because we haven't been able to get rid of the bill for all these years. It just continues to grow. Take a look at the debt clock on the front page of American Workers Radio. I'd like to see some comparisons. In other words, somebody is making a lot of money on products that are being made for $9 a day somewhere else where we're paying $29 an hour to people. It's got to be put on the table. People have to see the difference and be convinced, well, I am buying the same product which came from a foreign country. They're charging me 6 cents on a dollar less than they would if I bought it with an American-made label, but nobody wants to take that challenge to talk about it, to bring it to the public.
So they're charging, again, these are all legitimate. You know, free enterprise is the worst system in the universe. Terrible. It's the worst system,
yep,
except for every other one.
Yep, yep.
Except for every other system that exists. It really is the best of the worst. And what China is doing is not what Mark wouldn't do or anybody else who legitimately is trying to make a business work from month to month, from year to year. And that is, if what we manufacture over here we're selling for $18, and the guy in China is building them for $4, sending it over here for $18, why wouldn't he? It's what the market will bear.
It's the middlemen are doing wonderful. The people.
That's right. Somebody, whoever it is, has got to grab them by the throat and say, okay, that's fine. You want to charge that amount of money? We're not buying from you. We're not buying anything more from you. Make them until you've finished. We're going to do without them. And, we just have to play games like this in order to win. And, you know, I trust China about as far as I could if I picked up their current government and threw it as far as I could,
Larkin, before we go to Rich Logis, I just want to say, the president did ask for a report on where the coronavirus first started. I think we're about 30 days into that request for that report now. So let's see, because I want to see it. It destroyed America's economy. It killed millions and millions of people throughout the world. People should know, at least know, if something happens in a car, you at least want to know what happened. Did the wheel fall off? Did you have a problem? Was I riding too close? You want to know what was what. I want to know. I want to see what they're going to say, because if this isn't answered now, it's just going to be not answered the next time and the next time and the next time. We have to be prepared. Like in the Boy Scouts, they always told us, be prepared.
It's gonna create more questions and more hatred and more discontent. For what? I mean, if we're going to sue them and try to get back a couple $100 billion, that's one thing. But if it's just to find out so we can point our finger and say, we hate you, you're China, you
play
fair.
We have to know, because those not knowing has destroyed our economy. 600,000 people died, and it has to be something, because those who lost loved ones want to know what happened. Did it really come from bats? Did it come from a lab? Did it come from the sky? You know, did somebody drop it from heaven or hell or wherever? No, I don't have any idea. I want to know. Let's talk a minute to Rich Logis. Dr. Rich Logis, how are you doing?
Michael, good morning. Boy, oh boy, do I have some comments to make. Good morning to our listeners. Larkin, Mark, to everyone, thank you as always for, and of course, our audio engineer. So first, before I make a few comments, I need to acknowledge on Friday is my 13-year wedding anniversary with my, as Larkin always says, I married up. I stole that line, and I will say I really did marry up. So 13 years, and God willing, many, many more, Michael, on Friday. And my wife doesn't know it yet, but the card that I got for her, Mark, on the back of it, you know what it says? Made in the USA.
Excellent.
So I've mentioned before, Michael, greeting cards is an item I've mentioned a few times on this show. To be clear, I've never stated that you can't buy the same product over and over again. If every week someone came on and said, this week I bought a greeting card, and next week I bought a greeting card made in America, but did anyone buy a singular item made in the USA? Right, Mark?
Right.
Did anyone buy any, right? What did you buy this week? One item, just one. I don't care if it was 50 cents, $5,000, doesn't matter. And Mark, I've got some more. I have a little, what I do with Mark is when I complete these surveys, Mark, every time I buy something from you, Mark, it's because I did a survey with one of my manufacturers who are very good companies overall. But if I made some income because of some foreign-made products, what I do with the gift cards I get from the surveys, Mark, is I buy stuff from you to put it back into that way. So that's why I do that. That's why every time I talk to your daughter, she's wondering what the hell these gift cards are that I'm trying to use here. But that's what it's from. So that was my item for the week, Michael.
Very good. And
it's
I was
about a mile away, Michael. It's about a mile away from you, right? Independence Hall from my time, half a mile from where you're sitting. So what would everything that you're saying, Michael, about what the government does or doesn't do, what people do or don't do, what attention to detail we pay or don't pay, what would Thomas Jefferson say if we asked him? What would my man Jack Adams say, or Alex Hamilton, or my man Ben? What would they say?
This is exactly what they would say. I'll tell you what they would say. This is why we are declaring the Declaration of Independence, so we can be independent from England and we can operate on our own. We lost our declaration to be America, the best, the most inventive, the most productive. 40 years ago it started on a small way, real small, small steps, one step up the ladder after the other. Our founding fathers would say, we're selling America to the world and watching our people live with less and in many cases live in poverty. That's what I would say they would say right now. How did you govern yourself? They didn't have the government where the government was going to do everything for you, tell you what to do, where to go, da 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 da. No, they were governing America so that the people had something going on in their own way of life. Nobody wanted to, businesses and all, to be under the government. Who wants businesses?
Michael, I have an editor for my book, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again. And don't worry, I've got the Republican sequel. And I got to tell you, Lark, and I might be even a little more excited about the Republican version of it, but that'll give it some time for that because we'll announce that. And in my edits, Michael, I have that quote mentioned that everyone has said about when Ben Franklin is asked, Doctor, have we a monarchy or have we a republic? And he says a republic if you can keep it. But rarely, however, Mark, does one ever hear the balance of the quote, the rest of that quote in the full exchange. Because Franklin is then asked, well, why wouldn't we want to keep the republic? And his answer was, Mark, because the people on tasting the dish are always disposed to eat more of it than does them good. Now, that's exactly what was said. That's the rest of the quote. That doesn't really sound like a romanization of democracy to me, Mark. Maybe we just have a different definition of what constitutes, no pun intended, romanization. In the foundational principles and documents, Michael, that those guys did and put together half a mile away from you, they did not trust future generations of Americans to make the constitutionally correct decisions in self-governance, self-reliance, and self-regulation. That's why they created a constitution and its subsequent Bill of Rights to protect the minority rights, not talking about racial or ethnic minority. That is why they did that, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So years and years and years and years later, all we're doing is proving irrefutably with smoking gun evidence that those guys were correct, Michael, that they were worried and had good reason to be.
And that's 245 years ago they had that wisdom. 245 years
solve
ago.
Problems today. Let me tell you what 80-some-odd million Americans today, Michael, are pissed off about. Can I say that on air? That's okay to use that word, I think, right? What they're angry about. They're not angry, Larkin, about China. They're not angry about the cost of gas or how long it takes to get a chip. They're angry that simple majority democracy didn't occur yesterday. Larkin?
Yes.
That's not a few people who are upset. It's over 80 million who are angry today about it. Solve problems.
You know, Rich,
what?
If they put more of that time, I'd like to see more time put in keeping jobs, getting those people back to work. This morning, this was very, very interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that because this morning I saw a man in the parking garage elevator. And I said to him, oh, I haven't seen you for a while. I said, wow, it's been probably the entire pandemic. And his response was, I wished we could have been socially distancing at least through September so I'd have a chance to stay home. That's the mentality.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And, you know, coming back to the office, oh, that again, they no masks. And, you know, people got to the point they just want to be sitting around and doing their thing, maybe a little bit of work from home. And, you know, it's not good. It's not good. I don't like seeing what I'm seeing. And somebody really on a national level, on a state level, on a local level, should be out there cheerleading. Let's get our economy moving. Let's get our people back to work. Let's get our kids back to school. They're talking about all the money they got from the federal government to paint the schools and put new roofs and beautify the parking lots and all that. How about expanding the programs in the school buildings so that they are reflective of the trades that we need here in this country for our middle school and high school students? Those dollars come from us. You know, when one politician said to me, oh, you're just thinking of the way it used to be. I said, oh, no, Bill, let me tell you something. Stacks of $100 bills don't fly in from the sky. We have to be realistic. And you putting us on a tax schedule, oh, well, we're going to raise the taxes over the next 3 years, this much and this much and this much to reflect the inflation. I said, wait a minute.
Michael, I have.
You should
Michael,
be trying to stop inflation, not allow it to grow.
I have a whiteboard. I do a whiteboard positive reinforcement. It's like my Tony Robbins within me, awaken the giant within me whiteboard that I do a week. And this week's, Larkin, I wrote in the top of the whiteboard, don't, quote, play the game, unquote. Create the rules and force others to play by your rules. Does anyone think that the Chinese sits down and has an economic negotiation diplomatically with other countries, Michael. The Chinese don't do that. They're not playing a game. They're creating the rules and forcing others to play by those rules, which means, Mark, that the only way to defeat it is to employ the identical but smarter and better modus operandi. The only language that any of these people will speak is force. And I'm not talking about violence, Michael. What makes the republic, this republic, and this is not a romanization of democracy, but what makes this republic, Mark, more unique than any other first world civilization in the history of man is that it is the one place where the people in it have the most influence in the outcome. You cannot find another republic, Michael. Any set up civilized society, empire, etc., where the people in it have the most say in the outcome. That's the way that you deploy force against these entities, groups, countries, etc. I'm not talking about violence. There has never, ever been a time, Michael, in the history of man where freedom was attained and preserved by diplomacy. It has never occurred, ever, and it never will, Mark, ever. It has never happened diplomatically. Obviously, we don't come on this show and say, let's have violence. No, that's reserved for where the majority of the inhabitants are the voters of Biden and Harris. Anywhere the voters of Biden and Harris, Larkin, are the majority, you have the most violence, the most murder, the most inflation, the highest taxes, the lowest quality of life, et cetera, no exception. So all of you listening out there, you have actual say in the influence, the outcome. But if you don't do anything with it, then you haven't done anything.
Rich, you're absolutely right. You know, next week is already days before the 4th of July. Maybe we should discuss how wonderful it is to live in a free country. I think that would make a nice conversation, and the founders would be very interested to know. In fact, in the next edition of the Polish American News, we have an entire page dedicated to the text of the Declaration of Independence. When I tell you, a lot of people will be very interested in reading it. They will. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it's time for us to say goodbye. I would like to thank Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and also Dr. Larkin Conley and Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, and all of you for spreading the word. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show up on the internet. Remember, you can check out our internet site by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Look for American Made and speak up where you shop. God bless.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.